Do you get the point? And Paul said that that is the kind of goal that every believer should have. Are you getting my point? Please bear that one in mind. The power of his resurrection. My emphasis there is the word power. Now, why am I saying power and resurrection now? Because, you see, I went to preach somewhere in Abakaliki yesterday, and I was supposed to talk about restoring the old waste places. And I asked them a question, that why do you think the places were waste in the first place? Are you getting my point? They were good. Then they became waste. Are you getting me? So what they are going to now experience is resurrection. Do you follow my point? Restoration is therefore what? Resurrection. That is, you need power to do that restoration. That's what I'm trying to talk about. It's not just resurrection now, but what? Restoration of that which was good. Are you following me? Are you following the point I'm making? Now, so as a believer, you need that power. That's what we're talking about. To create, recreate things for God on the earth. That's why we're talking about creative power. Do you hear what I said? Creative what? Power. Please let me emphasize this before I leave this particular segment, what I'm saying. That with the believer, things are different. Don't forget that. And the reason is because there is a power working on his side, which is called what? The power of his resurrection. And he lays hold of that power as it becomes conformed with the image of Christ in life. Don't forget that. We discussed this. If you were not around, please get this series. Six CDs, six messages, all right? Now, we discussed that, listen, this is the way it works. As you grow up to the image of Christ, what is happening is that the image is not outward. You understand that point? It's what? Inward. And it's in simple things like attitudes, your motivation. Why do you do the things that you do? Because Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he said, let this mind, my Bible New American says, let this attitude be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Do you get the point? So, and Paul explained further down that there are many areas of life. He said, if in any area you have a different attitude, God revealed that to you. That is, as you convert each area of your life to the attitude of Christ, then you are becoming more conformed to the image of Christ. You get that point? And as you become more conformed, listen, you are laying hold of that power of what is resurrection. So that God can say simply, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Then he gives you that power to administer. That's the point. It's an administrative thing. That is, he gives it to you to hold. Like Jesus said, the Father does not judge any man, but he has committed all judgment to the hand of the Son. So if God decides that he's going to restore maybe Nigerian judicial system, or, no power has been an issue in the last few days. So, power sector. And he takes one of his sons in whom he's well pleased, and he gives him the power of resurrection. The man will walk into the power sector, and that's it. He starts working wonders. Do you get the point? Like a Joseph walks into a land that famine is about to come. I wrote a mail to some of the directors of as a company that's my alumni fellowship, the individual has seen there started. I wrote a mail a few days ago. I prayed a prayer that don't forget, this is a spiritual thing. You're not fighting like an average person. Your kind of prayer should be asking for the spirit of Joseph that knows where the stock market is going. Do you get my point? You can't get me. Somebody was telling me recently that a friend of his dealing in stock, he has made so much money. I said, don't get carried away. Either you are blessed or you are not blessed. If you are not blessed, you will enter there by the time you are coming out. You get my point? I mean, when Lot came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know how broke he was. You are getting what I'm saying? So please don't be fooled. If you are not a blessed person, stop running after what blessed people have done. You are getting my point? So I said, listen, guys, that's what you need, the spirit of Joseph, which will just... They will just have a dream, and dreams come in different ways. There are dreams that come while you are sleeping. There are some that come while you are wide awake. Some come on pages of newspapers that most people can't interpret what is printed. You follow what I mean? And from those dreams, you will decode where this stock market is going. So while everybody is buying and buying, you're selling and selling. By the time they finish, everything dies down to zero. You start buying and buying. Then when it wakes up again, they're all poor. You are still very rich. That is the power of blessedness. You are getting the point I'm making. Like I said earlier, believers, you expect something different. I don't have time to say this again, tell those stories again. Go and read Demos Shakarian and see how God lifted him to becoming a multi-millionaire dairy farmer. Please go and read the story. The richest, the happiest people on earth. The story of Demos Shakarian, the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. Go and read the story. You get the point I'm trying to make. Don't ever forget that. As a believer, you need... I mean, no, not like you need. That is what you are supposed to walk with. That power of God which makes you perform above that which is normal. I just can't seem to leave this. I said something before. You heard me say it. The world. You know, we said the world works. I said the world works. When I was preaching yesterday, I told them that, you know, they wrote in their bulletin, or what do you call it, their booklet for their conference. They wrote my profile. Dr. Bankole Olushina, motivational speaker. I said that is an insult to my anointing. And I told them, I said, all of you take your books, cancel it. I am not a motivational speaker. I said it's an insult. If you are motivated by my teaching, God bless you. But I am a teacher of the word of God. I am not a motivational speaker. People misunderstand things because you were motivated when I spoke. There are people that were condemned, you don't know. I said there were people that were condemned. I said, please, oh, don't make that mistake. Everybody laughed. I said, but please take it out to parents, cancel it. This man is a teacher of the word of God, not a motivational speaker. I said, because most motivated people failed. It's just that you won't read their story. Will you buy a book that says how I failed in life? No, will you buy it? You buy the ones in which the man told you how he succeeded. Which the Bible says he does not know how. So I don't know, look, I'm not a motivational speaker at all. I teach the word of God. If he motivates you, God bless you. But some people are being condemned as I'm speaking. Why did I say that? This is my reason for saying it. Because it is not motivation. Get up. Go. You can do it. Listen to me. A man who can't do it, can't do it. No matter how much you tell him, he can do it. The Bible said they have healed the heart of the daughters of my people slightly by saying peace, peace when there is no peace. In 2 years, the yoke will be broken. Jeremiah said, relax. 70 years, you will be inside here. You are not going anywhere. The prophet will go, oh, tear the shirt. Bwah! He said, thus is the Lord. As I have torn this shirt, so will your bondage be torn away. The one he did it right was, he took a yoke. You know what they call a yoke? Wooden yoke. Put it on his neck, and took it from somewhere and broke it. God said through Jeremiah, you have broken the yokes of wood. I will make yokes of iron. What am I going to explain? God said, you have healed the heart of my daughters slightly by saying, now notice the word, saying. When you say, people's hearts get healed. So when you said, peace, peace, they were healed slightly. But Jeremiah said, unfortunately, there was no peace. Therefore, the wound healed superficially, but it was festering deep inside. By the time it manifested, you people were dead. So let me tell you, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Build houses, buy land, plant vineyards, marry wives, give out your children in marriage. Because 70 years, all of you will stay here. What am I going to explain? A motivational speaker can tell you peace, peace, when there is no peace. I preach truth. Are you getting my point? I preach truth. If I say peace, it is because there is peace. No matter how good it will make you feel, one prayer I pray all the time is, say, God, please make sure I am not a performer. Listen, I'm being honest with you. There are places they will invite me to come and preach, and I will stylishly say no, because the people are expecting performance. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. I'm not explaining something here. Why I say I'm not a motivational speaker. If I say peace, it is because what? There is peace. Because sometimes people hear peace, peace, and they rush, and there is no peace. So the man strives. He reads all the books, 75 keys to effectual business. At the end of the day, his own business is ineffective. He goes through the checklist. He has performed everything therein. You should have just read Solomon that says that the race is not to the swift. Bread is not to the discerning. That is, no matter the number of keys you know, you may be poor. You are getting the point I'm making? It is the blessing of God that makes rich. That's what I preach. I said, don't ever, ever refer to me as a motivational speaker. If you are motivated, good for you. What is motivating you is because I'm saying things that are true. One of the things I preached to them yesterday, I said, listen, there's what the Bible calls the season of restoration, all right, in which people can prolong the days of adversity beyond when the season is supposed to start. That God will say concerning Nebuchadnezzar, that Luis, I sent him as a weapon of my wrath, yet he carried it beyond the level. Sometimes when God is ready to deliver people, are you getting my point? They are not yet ready for the deliverance. So the time for restoration has come, but they are still walking around as slaves. That's why I appear like a motivational speaker. Do you follow the point I'm making? But as a believer in Christ Jesus, this is what I'm making. Motivational speaking may appear to work for some people, but that's not what you need as a believer. Nobody preached motivation to Abraham. No, get to what I'm saying. Jabez only heard words of discouragement. Anytime they call him, Jabez. You know what it means? Sorrow, come. Sorrow, please. Excuse me, Mr. Sorrow, don't go yet. I want to invite to the pulpit this evening to speak to us. Mr. Sorrow, put your hands together. Jam your hands together for Mr. Sorrow. Jabez said, which kind of wahala is this? He now went into his room and prayed. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. You get what I mean? That as a believer, your own, listen, some people have been blessed by motivational speaking. I'm not saying it doesn't work. That's what I mean by the world works. But there is a power of his resurrection, which in the midst of negative words, do you get my point? Which after walking to 10 banks and being discouraged, which after starting 3 businesses and they're all collapsing, God said, do you know why I allow them to collapse? Because it's only then you will understand the meaning of resurrection. Do you get my point? That though your outward man is perishing, Paul said, yet from inside it is being renewed day by day. He said, even though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He said, if the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will give life to your mortal business. Do you understand what I'm making? And he said, no. Nigeria has too many problems. He said, there is a spirit. That's what I'm trying to preach to believers. There is a spirit that is called the power of his resurrection. Which Paul said, if it dwells in you, it will give life. Listen, if you failed in the past, it is because God said, so that now at least you can understand the power of resurrection. I like one thing that I've heard many people say, and I say it also, that Nigeria in this season, it's an exciting place to live in. Even the foreign preachers have said that when they go to Africa, that power they flow. You know, in America, you pray for 50 blind before one will see. You say, one just get to Africa like this. All the blind eyes will pop open. You understand the point I'm making? That is, we expect the manifestation of the power of God as Christians. We expect it, and that's what makes us different. Are you getting my point? Listen, you know, motivational books are good, but they are just like vitamin. A dead man is a dead man. He cannot benefit from any infusion of vitamin B, cotinamine, riboflavin, you know, nicotinamide. Anything you give him is dead. You get the point? Motivational speech is vitamin. You need life first before the vitamin can help you. And what I am preaching is what? Life. Thank you. So creative power is my message. Today being the introduction. Now, where do we start from? You say, what do I mean start? Yes. We'll be introducing so far. Yeah, you know, it's going to run for a while. So this is our introduction up till now. All right. Now, let me first start by explaining a principle, which in that message, I think, to rule over cities. That was what I taught in that message titled To Rule Over Cities. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 19. If you have listened to that message, what I'm going to say now won't be so new to you, apart from the new thing that the Spirit will throw into my mouth as I speak. And I'll read from verse 11. This is a parable of money usage, my Bible says. While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable. Why? Because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Notice that. He was explaining a principle to them here because of the state of their hearts. They had ideas in their minds. They thought that the kingdom of God will appear immediately. So for that reason, he began to teach them about how to position yourself for the kingdom of God. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, he said, please, what I said just now, I want you to notice very well. He told them this parable because they were expecting the kingdom of God. And he was teaching them how to position yourself for the coming of the kingdom. Do you understand? So now he began to speak. He said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. There were 10 slaves and there were 10 units of money, 10 minas, meaning each person got one. Do you understand? It's a different parable from the one that may come to mind. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. Now, he said, when he returned after receiving the kingdom, so he came back having received the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, master, your mina has made 10 minas more. That is, the one you gave me have multiplied it 10 times. And the master said, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are going to be in authority over 10 cities. Now, to save time, I will jump the next five fellow. That is the guy who made five. And then another guy came and said that your mina is one. You gave it to me. I kept it and I've returned it to you because of the kind of person that you are. I'm not going to deal about with that guy much, so I won't read the whole story. Now, verse 24, he now said that take the one from the guy who didn't know how to use it, I'm paraphrasing, and give to the one who has 10. They said, master, he has 10 already. He said, listen, this is the way it works. To him that has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. This is the truth. This is a principle of the kingdom that Jesus taught these people because they were expecting the kingdom to come. Now, please get this point. Number one, when he gave them the minas, when he gave them the money to go and use, please bear in mind that they did not know why. I mean, they had the wrong impression of why he was giving them the money. Do you understand? Because the other guy said, listen, I didn't want to lose your money. You and money self. Are you getting my point? This man likes money too much. This one that he's gone. He cannot even put the business on hold. He said, we'll still be working. Now, the first fellow showed his diligence and his commitment to the master and his ability by multiplying it 10 times. This is the point I want you to understand. He also did not know that the master, all right, was testing them. He just did what came to him naturally. Do you get my point? He was not planning to rule over 10 cities. He was just working diligently. Now, was the master looking for more money? The fact is that he wasn't. He was testing his servants so as to know which position they will be able to occupy in his kingdom when he comes. Do you get the point? He was testing them. He wasn't interested in their money. If you see the response all the time, it was not, good, more money for us, keep it on this side. It's a good and faithful servant. You will be in charge of 10 cities. Good and faithful fellow, you will be in charge of 5. That is, the money was to test their ability to handle bigger things. And he that is faithful in little, the Bible says, will also be faithful. Jesus was speaking in much. Now, please get what I'm trying to say. This is the reason why I read all of this. Because for a long time, I used to wonder, because you see, people talk about principles of the kingdom, envision, you know, pray, ask God, do this and do that. Then we also preach that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what you can ask or what even think about or imagine. As okay, how do you reconcile the two? This is a summary of it. Number one, when it comes to destiny, there is nothing you can do about it. When I say destiny, where God plans to take you to, you can't consciously, listen to this, you cannot even consciously pray about it. Oh, Pastor, what are you talking about? Let me explain. Let me ask you a simple question. When did David ever infer in all his writings and stories about him that he prayed about becoming a king in Israel? Not one day. But one thing you are sure of is that when you gave David two sheep, male and female, at the end of a year, they became five. You could be sure of that. How do I know? Because you see David literally laid down his life for those sheep. The day he fought a lion, he had nothing. Look, he didn't wake up in the morning and say, today, let us show our faith. Let's jump into a lion's den. It was lion that looked for trouble. Lion came to pick his sheep. The man didn't go to kill a lion or a bear. He went to free the sheep that they took. And then when they turned upon him, he had no choice than to defend himself. It's called self-defense. The man, listen, he never went out. You know, I preached to you before that. David did that because he was a small boy. May you understand what I'm saying? That is his zeal. Eh? The zeal of youth was what was manifested as a result of his love for his sheep. he was like, my sheep, my sheep. He forgot the lion. My sheep, he ran after the sheep, collected the sheep. Then one lion came after him. Sir, waiting. Is the sheep your own? Okay. So he faced the lion. Do you get my point? He did not wake up that morning trying to fight lion. And in the same manner, he never woke up, he never prayed that one day, God, please let me see Goliath and let me kill him. Then let Saul notice. I know, Lord, I forgot to mention, this must be after Samuel has come to our house. You get the point? No, he never thought about that. He was just doing his job, what? Diligently. And that's what God was teaching the people. They were waiting for the kingdom. You know, like waiting for the kingdom. Say why? He said, before the kingdom comes there, the last 1 month, now pray and fast. You know? So you will know we are ready. We could be ready like this. You know, you've heard me say this. I said, if they tell me authentic information that Jesus is coming next week, what will I do the rest of this week? You see, this is the way it is. Whatever I was supposed to do on Monday, I will do. He said, but Jesus is coming the following week. Well, if what I was doing on Monday was not in keeping with the fact that Jesus is coming the following week, then I better change whether he's coming or not. Do you get my point? There was a way I taught myself many years ago. As let us assume now they gave me authentic information that Pastor Banky, put your house in order because in 6 months you shall die and not live. And I said, Lord, let's assume I beseech the Lord 3 times. You know, is it beseech? Or, you know, besought. Okay, let's assume I beseech the Lord 3 times about it. And he says, don't even talk to me about this matter. I said, what will I do? I said, all right, you know what I'm going to do? For your information, whether you like it or not, I will be preaching to myself every day. Now, this point I'm making, let me be realistic about it. I said, everything I know, I will start writing. I will teach and teach and teach and teach. Then when I finished telling myself, I said, okay, now that they have not told you that you are going to die, why don't you start teaching and teaching? Lest God uses you are going to die to make you teach. I said, it's risky. Back here. You better start teaching. Now, that was the thing that I started preaching on Saturday. You know, things like that. Next, I see Monday evening. We had and join. Get computer, sit down. Write. Every opportunity, preach. I'm so happy that we have almost 300 messages in these few years I've been doing this thing. Well cataloged, digitally archived. I feel so happy about it. You heard me say something a few days ago, a few meetings ago, that when this man died, Oswald Chambers, he was 43 years old. And he died having written only one book. But he had preached so much. And God had arranged for him to marry a wife that was very good with shorthand, that she had written down almost everything he had preached. So by the time he died, God didn't lose anything. They compiled all his books. He has fat volume. He has maybe almost 30 books. I have the complete collection. Are you getting my point? Now, what am I trying to explain here? That you see, one really can't plan for destiny. That's the point I'm making. That what you can just plan for, let's get back to David. I'm not going to tell you the difference between the reigning over cities and multiplying minas. What God was going to use David for, he never knew. But what he did with the sheep, get my point, that qualified him for becoming a ruler in Israel. Do you get the point? Listen, every Once God gives you a talent, a gift, an anointing, all you can do is what is within your imagination to do. And for that, you will use all the spiritual principles you know. Do you get my point? Now, with that, you will get results within the limits of your imagination. Now, based upon the amount of results you got within the limits of your imagination, God decides where he will put you outside your imagination. That's why he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that you can ask or even think about. Do you get the point I'm making? That's the difference between destiny and preparation for destiny. Everything you see today as a young man, as a young woman, is preparation for destiny. If no matter how, that's why listen, that, hey, I should have known, I should have gone to the stock market. Listen to me, it has nothing to do with eternity. The amount of money you have made up till now has nothing to do with your destiny. It is your faithfulness in what you have been given to do now. Do you get the point I'm making? So I say, hey, that time, my friend went into this realm of business. Now he's a millionaire. So, how has that made you more effective in your own business, in your own work, in your own teaching, in your own ministry? Nothing. Because the amount of money he has now is not what will determine where he will be tomorrow, but how much he has multiplied the gift that God placed in his hands. That's what we're talking about. Are you getting my point? So please don't be carried away. What I'm saying this is that when you're talking about creative power, I am going to teach principles that are within the limit. Let me put it like this. I am going to teach principles that you can only operate within the limits of your imagination, because that is the only place where God requires it of you. Do you get the point I'm making? So the young boy or young girl that's teaching nursery school students, because you will see, when we're talking about the law of faith, we said, if you can believe, it's not about struggle. It's not how long you spend lying down. Listen, let me say this to you again. It's not how long you spend meditating alone that makes you able to believe. I have a dog in my house. No matter how many messages we play in his ears, he won't talk. You know why? It's basically a dog. And one thing I like about foreign breed is a German Shepherd, you know. From time I used to like them because most other dogs, local breeds, there are things they can't do. Like, maybe I come down from work now, or I come down and I come back home, I drive into the compound, and I sit in the car, I don't come down. The dog will wait outside. After a while, it will climb the car and start looking over the window like, oh boy, are you not coming down? I never taught it to do that. It's in the blood. It is because it knows that once I come back, I will open the car door. Then you throw his head into the car, want to enter the car. You know the way they behave, you know. But if I don't open the door, the guy will raise two legs, put out one like, are you not coming down? What's happening there? You know, yeah, you get my point. What am I trying to say? It's just in him. It will never talk, never. It will never get angry. That's another thing. It doesn't have the ability to get angry. If you see what my little boy does to this dog, one day he gave the dog a slap, the dog shouted. I'm not joking. The dog moved back. Oh, what? The dog went, started sneezing. But he never get angry. You know why? Anger is not in his blood. If he sees a stranger that has never offended him, he can bite you. Now, I'm trying to bring out the principle here. No matter how much talk you talk to that dog, he no go talk. Why? He does. It's not in the blood. In the same manner, no matter if God, Bible says that thou hast formed my inward parts, I will give thanks to thee because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me explain this to you. If God makes you in a particular way, no matter how hard you try, there are certain things you can't conceive. It's a matter of fact. So for you to have an ability to conceive certain matters, it should give you an indication of where God is taking you. Listen, and the fact that you have not conceived certain things does not mean you are not qualifying for eternal destiny. Do you get my point? No, I started by saying that, look, you give a young boy, a young girl, teach these primary school children. Stop trying to imagine developing Microsoft, the third operating system, if you can't. Don't let covetousness give you new visions. Into your hand, these sheep have been committed. How do I train them up for God? How do I lead them in the path of righteousness? How do I instill godliness into them? How do I teach them the basic fundamental things about learning in life? Then start having ideas. Next thing you know, you are writing books that nobody with all the childhood psychology they've learned all over the world can surpass. They will say a child has dyslexia. They will give that child to you. You will teach the child how to read and to write. People will say, can we find a man as wise and as discreet as thou art, saying that in you lies the spirit of the gods? That this guy, he said a child has dyslexia. He said maybe it's because Amaka has never taught the child. There's no child with dyslexia that this girl can't teach. Do you get the point? That's how God does it. A lot of people are going somewhere saying, let me incubate. I want to be under Bill Gates. God said, listen, wealth is not to the discerning. I give you something, you use the creative power. That's where I'm going to. You will use it on what I have given you. You don't use it for what I have not given you. I give you children to teach. Don't be a thief. Envying the people who are earning a millionaire a month. Listen to this clearly. It does not in any way reflect where they are going in life. I told you before, the day my mom and I were talking, and she said, it's because, you know, that land, your mates are building houses. I told her how many of my mates are doing what I'm doing. I said, by the way, is it the first person to build a house that builds the best or the finest one? She laughed and said, it is true. And began to tell me stories to confirm what I learned by revelation from the word of God. Are you getting the point I'm making? This is the way it works. So there is something that God has given to you. There is your own one mina. God said, occupy with this. Are you getting my point? Use this one till I come. Don't look for another man's own. I didn't make you a software developer. Just because Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, you're looking for a job in a software company. Are you getting my point? I have not made you a businessman. Listen, God has made me a teacher. That is why I teach voraciously. You hear what I said? I teach voraciously. I'm always trying to teach. I still remember very well before I got married. When nobody would ask me to come and teach, then one day, one young woman mistakenly agreed to marry me. All right now. I use that for my platform. Sit down there. Let me teach you. It's in my blood. I told you last time that, this is the kind of car we drive. I said, what are you going to do to get it? I said, simple. I teach some more. He said, so you get a rich man to teach though? What nonsense. I will get only a pulpit. Turn my back, close the door, nobody's around. I will teach hard. Put it on CD. You know why? I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And say, God, and they'll say, I done the work for 1 year now. Give me December benefit. Say, what will you like? A Land Cruiser is good. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making. I hope you've got my principle. I will continue from here next time, but I have to stop now because of our time. Are you getting the point? Let me end it here. But please, what have I said today? Don't forget, one, you're not an average man. You're not an average woman. What happens to everybody is not your business. There is what the Bible calls the resurrection power. That is the power of creation. The power to create something out of that which was dead. Do you get my point? That is number one. Then the second most important thing which I brought out today is the fact that there is a talent that has been given to you. That's what we are going to use your power on. Then based on how you got results from that power, God now lifts you into destiny. Where God will take you to, just like David entering into the throne in Israel, Joseph, the throne in Egypt, even Isaiah preaching to the whole world, like Paul himself preaching to a few people, but now becoming the most popular preacher we know on the earth, that is left for God to do. It's not within your powers. You can't scheme it, you can't dream it, you can't imagine it. But what God has given you, use your dreams, your imagination, and your powers to work on it. And then God will judge you, that is, reward you accordingly and place you into the place of destiny. I hope you got the point. We'll continue from there next time. Let's begin to pray.